time now for In Case You Missed It, a look back at the topics of the day. Here's Lauren Brooks.
All right, gentlemen, Florida is a win away from the College World Series Championship Series in Omaha. Frank, you knew Brady Singer had good stuff, but you weren't expecting the Gators to have only allowed one run in the last 27 innings facing three really good offensive teams.
Yeah, that's the real astounding stat, that Wake Forest, TCU, and Louisville, who can all really hit, one run in 27 innings. But I thought he would be nasty last night. You had that feeling. He was angry about coming out of the game the last time he pitched. He was ready to pitch last night. And they are well positioned now. If they can win with Coar on Friday, if they can win on Friday with Coar against either Louisville or TCU, I know Oregon State's good, but they now have a fresh Fieto and a fresh Singer to go Monday, Tuesday. So one more gigantic game coming up, but Singer was very good last night.
Well, and that will change the feeling you have about them Friday. If they get the win with Coar, then you feel really good. If you have to go to Fieto to win a second game and then get in that championship series, I don't think Gator fans will feel as good, because now you just have Singer and then you got to kind of hope a little bit against most likely a very good Oregon State team, or we'll see who, a very good team regardless. But I just think this is a perfect match. It's the one thing. Omaha is a perfect match for the Florida Gators. The last 2 years,
right?
They have tremendous pitching. And that is a pitcher's ballpark. It is not a hitter's park. And so those two things combined, and then you just throw in a touch of timely hitting like last night for the Gators, and it's a really good formula.
I'm still concerned about their hitting, but the pitching has been outstanding. And Byrne also really hasn't been used much so far in Omaha. So really it couldn't shape up any better for Kevin O'Sullivan as he tries to shape this. If they can win Friday, then you can count on game one, game two, you know, getting seven innings out of Fieto, getting seven innings out of Singer. Then you bring in do you bring in Byrne maybe for the two-inning save? And anyway, so it'll be interesting to see. But Florida's hitters, they've got to pick it up. I mean, 1-4 in the lineup, 0-14 last night. I mean, that's just not sustainable. Like, the guys in the back half obviously were excellent and had the counted for the five RBI. But, I mean, at some point, Florida's hitters have to start hitting.
Is there an after party after the Walk-Off Charities first pitch event?
Maybe.
I'm just now putting it all together.
Yes.
that event is ending, Florida first pitch will be starting.
I may ask Ken Babby, can we slide into one of those suites up there and never leave, okay?
Put it on the Jumbotron. Is it an 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock first pitch. Yeah, you know what? Good call. I hadn't thought about that until you just said
it. I didn't either until all of a sudden Brent said Florida plays
first.
I was like, that's
at
8 o'clock.
You know, I think we're expecting, 300-400 people there. 500, I don't know, whatever it is. Tell them all stay. Put on the Jumbotron. Let's stick around.
Let's do it. Keep the lights on, baby.
You know what? And by the way, I think I'm covering the food and drink till about 8. I think Ken will say, we'll fire up those concession stands. We'll stay all night, okay?
We got this. Coach Krzyzewski wants high school basketball players to be eligible for the NBA draft. Hayes, you think even though it could end in disaster, the teenagers should be allowed to make that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not going to end in disaster for some of them. Some of them are going to be set for life if they take care of their, you know, finances. So, I mean, I think they should be allowed to do it. I think if they are, you know, if the league wants them, if it wants to draft them high, they should be able to earn that living. I would like to see something put into the system to protect the guys that do make bad decisions, that want to enter the draft out of high school. They don't get picked, and I think they should be able to go find a college. If they don't want to make that Division I because of an unfair advantage or something, then fine, let them at least go to a Division II school or something like that and let them resurrect their career from there before transferring. But yeah, I think these guys should be able to, you know, we've seen it. Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. I mean, there's more than that. But I think in that sport, a high school player can transition to the NBA at a high level.
I think Hayes has good points all around, and if that's the way it ended up, it's the way it ended up. I just think we have to be careful about all the guys that don't make it. And I know there's a decent chance they still end up with a good amount of money, which is good, and sometimes just as good as a diploma or an education from college. But I worry about that age and that direction, the roadmap that they're on at that age, in that lifestyle when they're very immature. I mean, you know, you can play against 30-year-olds, but can you act like a 30-year-old? That's a totally different ballgame. College allows you to at least get closer to that and have some more structure and a different kind of structure than you're used to in high school. So I would prefer to see the other part of this that Coach K says, maybe a minor league type of system in the NBA where each team has another team that you could put some of these guys on.
Where I think it's going to land is it's going to be 2 years.
That's what the commission wants, right?
Yeah, right. And I think that'll be better for everybody. I think, Hayes, you make a good point. It's hard. How do you deny them the right? But having said that, I hope they do, because I think it'll be better for college basketball. I think obviously the level of play at college will be way better. I think it'll be better for the NBA because guys will get there more mature. You'll know them. They'll be branded. I think everybody wins. There's just a handful of players don't get rich as soon. So I hope it happens.
Yes, in football, someone could potentially have a career-ending injury, but in basketball, we don't really see that. So really, is there a harm in sending a kid to college for 2 years? Maybe they don't get the paycheck right away, but in theory, they're going to be just as good after playing college basketball.
Yeah. So I mean, you could blow a knee, but you're right.
Potentially, but for the most part, we don't see that in basketball every once in a while. Bruce Arians said that former quarterback Byron Leftwich should be or could be a head coach someday. Brent, you're not sure Jaguars fans would agree with that.
Yeah, well, I think the reaction initially was like, really, Byron Leftwich? But a great player doesn't always make a great coach, and sometimes an average player makes a fantastic coach, and really that's more what happens, whether we're talking baseball, basketball, football, any sport. Most of the great coaches in the game weren't stars. So I think it's really interesting. I don't know Byron very well. I wasn't here during that time. But I love the fact that he stayed in the NFL as a backup, soaked it in with a good organization in Pittsburgh. And you got to wonder how much he's learned and if he'll be able to do this. Isn't like next year he'll be a good head coach. I think what Arians is saying is down the road he is tracking at 37 years old. He's tracking to maybe get a chance someday.
Yeah, look, he was always a guy that was smart. He was regarded as a smart player. Some thought he was a lazy player. Some thought he was too casual. But nobody ever doubted his intelligence. He was a bright guy, and the bright players are the ones that go on to become pretty good coaches. We'll see. It led me to a topic of not just where he will be, but how people feel about him, how Jag fan feels about Byron Leftwich, because he's one of the most least liked guys, and it was just a weird deal the whole Byron Leftwich era here.
I'll say this. I wonder if you asked in the 1980s, early 1980s, a San Francisco 49ers fan or a Tampa Bay Bucks fan if they ever thought Steve Spurrier could be a good coach.
Yeah.
And they'd probably say no, because he wasn't very good in the NFL from what they'd seen. Well, I mean, he ends up being one of the most innovative offensive minds that college football's ever seen. And, I think we see it in the NFL. Gary Kubiak, Sean Payton, backup quarterbacks, they have a chance. I think Chad Henne, if he wanted to do it, could certainly get into coaching and have a chance to have a good career in it. But Byron Leftwich, after he left Jacksonville, was able to hang in the league for 6 years. And I think that speaks to his intelligence, and I think he'd be a good leader of men.
And he said, based off of his vantage point as a backup quarterback, he was able to really see the plays developing and watch it all from a different angle than the quarterback gets to. So certainly that could potentially help him. Orlando is just 2 hours away, yet there doesn't seem to be a big Magic following here in Jacksonville, nor a big Jaguars fan base there. Frank, would that change if both teams became successful?
Well, that's what you got to wonder. It would affect it a little. But I don't sense that there would be a major effect. For whatever reason, there's not much of a connection, Brent, between Jacksonville fans and Orlando fans, or either city in the sports teams in the other city. There, you would think 2 hours away there would be. I think Tampa's presence affects that, but there's not much of a connection.
No, there really isn't. I feel like they just like to compete. You know, I mean, I think that we're all competitive. Naturally, I believe a lot of people are competitive, and I think these cities are competitive the way I find it. I don't think there's a lot of support in one way or another. Now, someone's going to say, well, there was a ton of support last year with the tragedy. I get it. I'm talking sports.
Right.
I think you find that with all the cities within the state, you know, and that's just kind of the way it is. Now, that doesn't mean if you're good, if they got Golden State good, you would have kids that would really fall in love with that and want to go down there. Would it be by the masses? Probably not. But the same thing with the Jags. If they can get so good that Jalen Ramsey becomes a household name and all these guys become household names, people from Orlando, those kids are going to come up. They want to see that.
That's the key, is you've got to be relevant, and neither franchise really has over the last 10 years. I mean, really, when you look at the Jaguars and the Magic, they're similar in the sense that their heyday was right out of the gate. The Magic have Shaq and Penny. The Jaguars had, you know, the miracle run with Coughlin, Brunell, and Baselli and all those guys. So, I mean, you know, to me, you got to get good. I don't know that it has to be Golden State. I don't know that the Jaguars have to turn into the Patriots, but you've got to be a contender to win your championship, I think, for, you know, fans outside of your area to really start paying attention.
I couldn't agree with you more, by the way. Being born and raised in Jacksonville, going to school in Gainesville with a bunch of people from Orlando, it was always a competition of whose city was better. And I think especially in the college football world, you know, we've seen Orlando kind of get some really big games when Jacksonville hasn't necessarily been able to. So I think it is a competition, and I think it will stay that way. FSU faces LSU tonight for the right to keep playing in Omaha. Brent, the Seminoles are strong offensively, but questionable defensively.
Questionable defensively, and I think you can question some of their fundamental stuff the last few weeks. They have to be better on the base. They have to be solid. Listen, it's College World Series. It's a postseason. I mean, all the little things matter, man. They got to get stuff done on the bases. They got to get stuff done in situational baseball better than I've seen them at times. And they've been a hot team. They're one of the hottest teams in the country right next to Oregon State. So I think they can do this, at least get by tonight. But it better be more sound than they were in that loss against LSU.
I will say this. They are the kind of team that can get hot. They've got a lot of veteran guys at the top of that order that have been there a long time. Cole Sands has pitched a lot of baseball. He's not their best pitcher, but he's been out there a lot. So we'll see. It'd be you know what? Be fun to watch.
LSU 7, Noles 5.
Well, you were wrong last night, Hayes, but I'm going to hope that you're right tonight. Jumbo Shrimp owner Ken Babby joined us to talk a little baseball. Frank, he has loved how much Jacksonville has embraced the new name of the team, and he's getting used to the heat.
Yeah, he really is. Ken's been a good friend in trying to get this thing set up for Friday night too. And he really cares about the town. Doesn't live here, but cares about the town. Or doesn't live here year round, but cares about the town and seeing it grow. And he's a good guy. And what I appreciate maybe most, and he and I have had the talk, we talked about it today on the air too, Hayes, is he tips his cap to Peter Bragan Jr. He said his words today, it'll always be Bragan Field. We'll always tip our cap to the history of baseball in Jacksonville and what the Bragans built here. And he's a good guy trying to fit in, and I think he's done a nice job. I think the Jumbo Shrimp are in good shape moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing the tributes that he was talking about of the former players that have come through. And, it was really interesting to hear his comments, and good to see how so many people with this cause really, you can see how much baseball means to him. It's been really cool.
Yeah, Babby's done a great job of infusing himself in the community, in a short time. So it's been pretty good stuff to watch. The Jumbo Shrimp have a little fever to them right now. They're selling merchandise like it's going out of style. It's really good stuff. And I think Friday night's going to be great. And the Vegas odds are in. Ty and I are the favorites. We're going to win.
Five-star quarterback Justin Fields arrived in Gainesville last night for his second visit to Florida. Hayes, you can't remember head coach Jim McElwain signing a five-star yet, so this would be a big get.
It would be a huge get for Jim McElwain because it's really the kind of acquisition that can change the narrative with his program in Gainesville. If McElwain can start getting five-star recruits, then the sky becomes the limit because you're talking about a guy that with limited talent, particularly on the offensive side, has gone to Atlanta the last 2 years. He's never lost to Georgia, and he's done some good things. So I do think if he can ever get it going a little stronger on the recruiting trail, then I think everything's sort of in place for Jim McElwain to win championships with the Gators.
Biggest recruit off Florida. If he goes there, he'll be the biggest recruit Florida's had since Tebow, no question.
And finally, as we wrap it up, just FYI, Justin Fields hung out with Malik Zaire at the Elite 11, and Zaire was telling him how great of a program Florida is. Almost a little bit ironic because Zaire hasn't been there yet, but it is certainly helpful for the Gators to have anybody talking good things about the program.